Hallelujah. Say this with me. God is greater than anything I face. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on. Jesus has already whooped the enemy, right? Come on. And we have to stand up in Him. Today's a holiday where Satan kind of gets some his digs in, right? But the reality is the greater one lives in us. You know, the greatest way to come against the enemy is worship. Right? Worship. Worship. The enemy can't stand in true worship. He'll flee from it because God's honored and God's, you know, looked at and God's blessed. It's so good. So we need to stand up in Him, right? Declare Him. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. I want to speak to you this morning and ask you a question. What can God do through you? What can God do through you? Now, that's kind of a tricky question in a way because, well, He can do anything He wants to do through me. No, not really. You know, not really. But what's the possibility of God using you in a supernatural way? What's the possibility of God doing in you and through you some things that are just amazing and that have ramifications throughout the whole world? Come on, it's there, it's possible, because with God all things are possible. Go to Ephesians chapter 3 and we'll start there. We're going to quote a few scriptures today and get into this. But I think that some of us give up too early and too easily on what God can do through us because of what we view ourselves to be. But I'm telling you, God's got something good for you. God's got something good through you today. Amen? Look at verse 20. And we'll look at this in further detail. But now to Him, talking about God, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I like this because the book was written to the church that was in Ephesus, but in this last sentence he says, and to all generations. I'm included in that all generations. You're included in that all generations. This was written to me. This was written for me. God has a plan for our lives. Are you with me? God has a plan for our lives, but do we limit Him by our thinking of what we're able to do outside of Him? In other words, we limit Him by our little thinking when God wants to expand our thinking. He wants to expand our vision and He wants us to get out of the way so we can see Him in every situation. Come on, come on, come on. Well, let me read this again. It says, now to Him who is able to do. See, we're not looking at our ability, we're looking at His ability. But I'll tell you this, His ability is throttled back by our inability to believe Him. Right? So what we want to do is we want to push the throttle in. Come on, to pull the throttle in. It's an old tractor had a lever on it. Some of them had them on the steering wheel where the throttle was up there. And you had to pull the throttle. You had to push the throttle to give it more throttle. I want to tell you, God wants us to turn the throttle up this morning. He wants you to turn the throttle up. What's your excuse? Come on, we all have, what's your excuse? I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this, I'm too that. Nobody will listen to me. You know, who am I? All of those things. I'm telling you, the reality of that excuse is a lack of faith to what He said about you. Come on. He said you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We'll look at that in a moment. But again, I want to tell you that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Is God working within us? The amount that He's working within us will determine what He can do through us. Come on. Are you letting God love you? Are you letting God be your Lord and Savior? Are you letting Him use you? Are you letting Him change you? Are you letting Him mold you? If you are, then the ability for Him to do through you grows exceedingly. Come on. Hallelujah. Now go back to verse 1 of the same chapter. And let's look at this. And this is Paul writing. He said, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of grace that was given to me for you." Everyone in here has a gift that God wants you to be used with. He has equipped you. He's appointed you. He's given you certain assignments. But watch this. It's not according to your own ability or capabilities to get the job done. Come on. It's His ability. It's when you get to the point where I can't do that, that's where you need to step into the grace that God's given you for the task and believe that God can do that through you. Well, I'm too old to do this. I'm too young to do this. Who said? Yeah, who said? Moses wasn't used till he was 80. Come on. Abraham didn't really get to where he was going and what God had for him until he was 80 to 100 years old. He didn't see the promise that God put in his spirit till he was 100 years old. I think we all got time. Right? But we're not going to be a people or a church of do-nothing, can't do nothing, can't be anything, or lacking in a vision of what God has for us, because He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think for the glory of God. Come on. He is able. But watch this. Paul said this, and I love this. He said in verse 2, "If indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." Listen to that. He said, have you heard of the things that God's done through me? Have you heard of the fact that I've been all over the world? Have you heard of the fact that God has used me and that many people have been saved, born again, their minds, lives have been changed, nations have been turned upside down? How did that happen? It happened because of the dispensation of grace that was given to me. You know what a dispensation is? It's something that's doled out. Come on. If you went to the dispensary in the shipyard, it was to get medical attention because that's where the doctors were. Right? Something that's dispensed out. God is the one who dispenses grace to everyone. What is grace? It's many things, but look at this. God, it's God giving us what He wants to give us because He wants to give it. Not because we earn it. I love this acronym. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, Jesus' expense paid the price so that we could receive the grace that God had on us. And us doing what God wants us to do is birthed out of that grace which He's given to us. Hey, have you heard of the grace that God has given to me for you? The next time God calls you or asks you to speak to somebody or even call them or make them cookies or go pray for them or whatever, whenever He does that, you got to come back and think about, wait a minute. If God's put this on my heart to do, then He's given me the grace to do it. Right? And if he's dispensed the grace, the only thing that would keep the grace from working is for me to keep it in the bottle. Come on, what I want to do is get the cap off today and for you to start handing out your grace pills or your gospels. Come on, you're the gospel by grace that God has given to you. God has given you the power and the ability to be able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. Who would get saved if I speak? Well, let me say this. If it's the grace of God speaking through you, the one who knows the heart of the person that he wants to reach to will speak through you to give you the words to touch the person that God has in front of you. Come on. It's like God wants us to get to the place where we're expecting more, we're believing more. Hallelujah. You know, the worship team up here, we worship God, but one of our jobs is to lead people into the presence of God. Now, if we believe that we're just singing songs, then that's okay. We can do that as well as we can do that. But the reality is that's just earthly stuff. But when we come to the place where we believe with all of our heart that we're singing and worshiping God and that God's inhabiting the praises of our people and that His presence is ushered in by the anointing to worship, by the ability of the grace that God's given to us, both our natural gifting and our supernatural gifting coming to work that can cause a mighty force for God. Come on. The church needs to start stepping up instead of stepping back and begin to understand that everything that God's called her to do is being done by the grace of God which has been dispensed to them. Everybody say this with me. I have been dispensed gifting by the grace of God. Let me say that again. I have been dispensed gifting by the grace of God. Now, whatever you think that is, it's not enough. However big you think that can be, it's not enough. Why? Because God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. So whatever you're thinking is not enough because God wants to take it to another level. Come on. God wants to bring it all the way up. Yeah, but you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand my failings. If I'd have only not done this, I could have been further in God. The reality is the blood is enough to cover all of your sins and to forgive you of all your unrighteousness. And that gives us the capacity to stand in the grace of God. Come on. Glory to God. So whatever you think, it's not enough. Whatever you are believing God for, He wants to take that to a higher level. Glory to God. And it's all because of the grace of God given to me. The grace of God. Look at verse 7 of chapter 3. It says, of which I became a minister. Everybody say minister. Did you know you're a minister? And before you get too wrapped up in that, really all that means is servant. That's all that means. People that go around, I'm in the ministry, you know. Well, put on your robe or put on your dishcloth and start washing dishes because it's servanthood. That's what ministry is. It's serving God and serving people through the power that God has given you to serve. Glory to God, of which I became a minister according to the gift of God, of the grace of God given to me, by the effecting working of His power. You got to get this. When you step in to that gifting that God has given to you by grace, His power is backing up the gifting. Come on, look at it again. It says by the effective. Everybody say effective. What does effective mean? It works. It's doing something of eternal value. It's working. It's effective. Right? If you start taking a pill to get rid of something and you're taking that pill for 3 years and nothing's changing, I would tell you that that's not effective. So what do you need to do? You need to step back and say, well, I'm going to quit taking this, and maybe God will lead me to something else that I can take. When I start taking something else, wait, it's working, right? Because it's effective. God's grace gift towards you will always, 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 always be effective. When I stand up to preach under the anointing of God, it's effective. Whether I feel like it's effective, whether it seems like it's effective, it doesn't matter. The result is, I know that I know that I know that God is speaking through me because the anointing, He's gifted me to do what I do. Right? It's effective. How effective? I'm not sure yet, but I'm getting a bigger revelation. I'm getting a bigger picture in my mind. I'm getting a picture that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. I'm getting the picture, like David said, when I open my mouth, He fills it. Come on, come on. I am a child of the Most High God. I've been gifted by the grace of God. Glory to God. Go back to chapter 2 of Ephesians, and you know these verses, but listen to them again in the light of what I'm saying. In verse 8, it says, "For by grace you've been saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God." How do we access the grace of God? By our faith. By our faith. By our faith, what does that mean? Lord, You said it. You said You loved me. You said You'd forgive me. You said that if I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'd be saved. Right? You said it. So by faith, I'm accessing the grace that comes through the redemptive work of Jesus. Right? Glory to God. Aren't you glad? Has everybody done that? If you haven't, we'll make time for that a little bit later. But the reality is that I receive my salvation because of the grace that He gave me, but my access into that was, Lord, I believe. Right? My part was, Lord, I believe. You did it. You did all the work. Lord, I believe. The same thing is true with the gifting that God has put inside of you. Come on. Well, what is that? I don't know. We're going to speak. What's that? Yeah, absolutely. Somebody said this, if you believe that you're called by God, start doing whatever God puts before you. Somebody said, well, I'm called to be a missionary to Africa. Well, go start talking to somebody. Go start sweeping the church. Go start doing something. But when you do it, understand that, God, You've given me this ability to do something, but I'm going to do it with all of my heart because it's Your grace that's given me. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, don't worry about what it is. Just begin to do what's in front of you, and God will put the next step and the next step and the next step and the next step. Glory to God. Your trip to Africa is probably in the first step of obedience that you're taking to Him right where you are now. Right? But how do you do it? You do it by faith. Lord, I believe that when I sweep this floor, I'm sweeping it under the anointing. I believe that because I'm sweeping this floor, God, that some hearts are going to change. I thank You, Lord. Come on. Why? Because You're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I ask or think in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. I've told you this many times before, but we got to understand that everything that we do for the Lord, everything that we do in life is affected by the grace that God has put in our lives. But we can access more of that grace as we begin to believe it more. Lord, I just believe it. I just believe it. I just believe it. Now, this isn't just in the church. It's in our homes. It's in our job sites. God, if You've called me to be a banker, I thank You that You've graced me and I'm accessing even the ability to be a better banker by faith in the grace that You've given to me. If you're a mother, if you're a father, if you're a husband, if you're a wife, Lord, I believe that You've graced me to be the best one that I can be. And Lord, I'm going to access that grace by faith. I may not see the results of it yet, Lord, but I am believing you for a greater anointing to be whatever you've called me to be. Come on, come on. What I want to expand today is your thinking. Because whatever you think is a standard, whatever you think is really good, he wants to take that up to another level. Come on. Because he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. So God, I want to say thank you for my saving grace. But Lord, I want to also thank you for my ministry grace. And I believe, God, that I can do more, I can be more, I can sing better, I can preach better, I can serve better, I can do Sunday school better, and what I'm saying by better is it's going to be more effective next year than it was this year because your anointing is not stagnant but is growing in me because I'm seeing more, I'm hearing more, I'm listening to you more, I'm displaying you more. Come on. Come on. He is able. He is able. Come on, look at again, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Ooh, I like that. You're his creative miracle. You are. I'm part of the we. You're part of the we. Right? In this room, we're we. But in the Bible, we're we. I am, I can say this, I am his workmanship. Now, if you're looking at yourself through the lens of your failure and before Christ, you're not looking at his finished product. But he wants you to take another look. I said, he wants to take another look. The Creator has said that you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. The minute that you became born again, the Creator began to do a work in you to get you to be who he called you to be, what your destiny is, what God has for you. You know, When the statue of David was made, you know, I'm forgetting how to pronounce the name, but the artist went up to a quarry and he saw this big rock and he said, you know, how do you do that? How do you get these works of art to come out of that? And he said this, he said, well, I see the finished product in the stone, and I just knock out everything that doesn't belong. Come on. What does God say? You're my workmanship. The minute that you got saved, I'm starting to knock out everything that doesn't belong because I've got a work, I've got a plan, I've got a purpose for you. And the enemy starts to steal what God wants to use in us for his glory. What can God do through you? I believe part of that is in what can you believe him to do through you? Come on, what is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? Hallelujah. Can you change your house? Can you change your block? Can you change your city? Can you change your country? Can you? Well, yes. Yes, because the God who is in you will do that through you.
Thank you, Lord.
And who qualifies for this? No, not necessarily. Only if you believe. Right? It doesn't just fall on everybody. I wish it did. Why? Because then we'd all be doing what we're supposed to be doing. But if true belief always leads to action. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. If you're not doing anything with what you believe, then you're just mouthing words. But God's grace is wrapped up when you believe and you start to take action. Then he says, see what I can do? You want to see some more? You want to see some more? Well, go over here. Do this, do that, do that. But your actions of acting on what God said is your access into the grace that He's called you to minister in. Oh, glory to God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to read a little bit of this scripture. I think it's so cool. Verse 8 says this. Concerning this thing that I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What does that mean? Quit looking at you. Quit looking at you. Quit telling God what you're not. And even in your weakness, God can use you if you'll believe Him that His grace is sufficient for whatever you're facing. How many have been through stuff? Right? Come on, we've all been through sickness, we've been through divorces, we've been through all kinds of failures, we've been through all of that. And what the enemy would say, now you're disqualified. Now you can't do anymore. Now you've got to stop. But God is saying, He is saying that I've redeemed you, I've picked you up, and all you have to do is get up, and all you have to do is understand that it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord, and I will use you. If you will begin to see yourself through my eyes, you'll see that you can do more, you can be more, you can have more, you can give more, you can minister more. You can be more effective for my kingdom if you'll fight to see who you are rather than what you've done. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to look up at verse 3 now of chapter 12. It says, and I know a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressive words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He's talking about himself right here and right now. Are you doing the time thing? No, yeah, I will. Now watch this. Of such a one I will not boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for when I speak the truth, I will refrain, lest anyone should think me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Come on. What is that saying? He's saying, look, I've done a lot of things. God has used me. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen all of this happen. But it's not in that. It's not me. It's God in me that causes this to happen. Glory to God. I got a couple more minutes and I'll quit. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, God's called many more of us than just those that sit behind a pulpit or on television or any of that. He's called all of us to do something for Him. Verse 1 of chapter 4 says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling which He has called you, in all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of truth. For there is one body, one Spirit, and just as you were called in one hope of your calling, In other words, the Lord has called each one of us to do something. Each one of us to do something. And I'll quit with this. Go to Philippians chapter 4. I want you to ask God, what is it you want me to do, God? Who is it you want me to affect, God? Who is it that you're going to put in my path today, tomorrow, the next day, that I can have an effect on? And it's in church, but church is just the place where it begins. When you're at the office talking to somebody about something, God, what is it that you'd have me to do for them? What is it you'd have me to say to them? God, what is it that I can do to change their lives? And He'll show you. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your present situation does not define the grace that God has on you. Your present condition does not define what God wants to do through you. Your present condition is only a place where God's grace can be made manifest so that His glory can be in the church, through you and me. Because He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think through Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.